Right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now. Did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com.
This episode is brought to you by Grove.co, and we are very, very happy to have them on board.
And then you just got like some weird accent. Yes, we are.
We're hi, really everyone.
Happy. Hi, welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk.
I'm Robin.
I'm Jamie, and we are happy to be here with you.
We are
on this lovely fall day.
I admit I'm feeling a little weird this morning.
I know that I've been driving you crazy all.
No, you're
morning.
Not driving me crazy. I'm missing you. Like, it's like the things you're saying, I'm like, oh, I didn't know that was a joke. Like, I'm just like definitely in a very weird space today. So apologies.
It's very
in advance.
Rare. It's very rare that you're missing.
I know. I do feel a little bit like I'm detached and floating above my head. But listen, let's not get into my personal problems.
Must be the morning run I took.
So hi, guys.
Hi. Sorry, we digress.
We won a motherfucking award,
we
Jamie.
Won.
We finally
no,
won
we
something.
No, we have never. I've never won anything. I've said this before. Even my trampoline contest in fourth grade, I'm still hurt about that.
You said
that
on Patreon. That's a Patreon story about her. Oh, no, that wasn't her. Thank you.
I think I said it. I say it to everyone. I'm Lisa Filibosi, and if you're listening, I'm so happy you won that day. I'm so mad. Even in place.
I'm literally trying
to
think
I was
now
flawless.
If I've ever won anything like an MVP. Or I don't think I've ever won anything either.
I won like group awards.
And the thing that our listeners don't
Wait, they don't
know,
even know what we won.
I know. Okay. First of all, we won this thing called the Podcast Awards People's Choice.
People's Choice Podcast Awards.
I think it's flipped because it's not the real People's Choice Awards.
Oh. But it's real
still,
for
it's
us
real.
Podcasters.
No, it's real. But you know what I'm saying. It's not the one that's in Us and People
but we
and
won,
Star Magazine.
We won big, people.
But
there's no red carpet.
Wait, but so what our listeners don't know is that not only do we not ever win, we submit for things all the time and we don't even get in the category. So for us to win was just like
crazy.
What?
I know.
And here's the best part. We talked about this on social, but So we were all like, okay, the awards are on Sunday. We're definitely, you're going to watch. I'm going to watch. Well,
we're going to film ourselves watching. Yeah, and then, we're going to watch it together.
Let's make great social content.
Yeah.
And then Jamie goes camping and I went to bed somewhere around 6:52 p.m. because I was so exhausted. And the next morning we wake up and someone on Twitter had said we won. And I was like, wait, what?
Oh my.
We forgot all about it. And that's when we win.
Yeah, that's when we win. My son, when we were camping, got croup. So I was dealing with croup camping. And then I wake up and I'm like, okay, he's still alive. And then Mom is like, we won. And I'm like, what is happening?
She was like in the emergency room where I was like, listen, do you have time to make a social media video?
That's exactly what she said. So right before we went to the emergency room, we made the video. That sounds like bad mom. No, it sounds like you got your priorities correct, is what I'm hearing. And he's perfect. He's fine now. But we won.
Oh, we did. I'm so excited.
Winning in the mom world is like, life goes on.
I know. I feel like that is so true.
Celebrate. It's like, wait, did we win an award? We won, right?
And people are like, you won, right? And I'm like, what? All right. Our next agenda item. We want to tell you that this week on Patreon, so if you want to join our little Patreon community, this week we've got some extra content with our guests today, Madhu and Jess. And of course, there's all the old videos. We've got some parenting tips, fertility talk, and some, you know, general idiocy with Jamie and Robin.
We tell a lot of stories. Yeah.
And last week we put up my coming out story. So that's going to be there for you to see all the shame that was in there.
She's so full of shame.
I really was. I'm not anymore.
No, not anymore.
What? Am I? See, I'm missing her.
I don't know. I've read our book that's coming out. So,
well, that's in the past tense, Jamie.
Okay. Well.
All right. Oh, Jesus. Now I'm going to get hate mail for my shame. Try to love me, people.
Not hate mail. It's totally normal to feel shame about coming out. It's hard.
Why do I feel so weird right
now?
It's
so hard.
It's so weird.
And now I'm your therapist. It's hard to come out.
We're really in a lot of trouble if you're my therapist.
I don't know why you got to go there. I'm a good listener. I don't offer the best advice, though. It's just not my wheelhouse. Anyway.
Our guests today are so listeners. Exciting. And let's just get right to them.
Let's bring them.
Madhu and Jess.
I love them.
Get in here.
Hi. Oh my God. We have
Madhu
and Jess.
And they are listeners who reached out and wanted to be on our show. And we were like, hell yeah.
We love our listeners.
Do we? No, I'm just kidding.
Of course we do.
I'm just kidding.
Especially these two because they brought us special mead.
They brought
wine
us mead
that they made in their
kitchen.
Is it
mead wine or mead?
Just mead.
Mead. You can also call it honey wine.
Jamie, we do need to at some point dial into the fact that they brought us booze, and I just love that.
They know us. Yeah. You guys know us.
It wasn't a stretch, was it?
And they were like, "It is kind of high alcohol content." We're like, "We're pros. Cool. Don't worry. We're good.
We got this."
We would have cracked it open, but it is kind of early.
It's 9:30. So, all right. Well, welcome. We're so excited to have you here.
Thank you.
Let's start with an elevator pitch. Yeah.
Who are you guys?
We are accidentally stereotypical lesbian Buddhists who love to travel. And we are actively engaged in homosteading.
Homo what? What's homosteading?
I get it.
Yes, you get it. Right?
Explain it. I get it. Homosteading.
So it's like homosteading, but we're gay. So it's homosteading.
I guess in the context, I don't really know what homesteading is. Like, you're living on a farm. Are you off the grid?
Well, no. Unfortunately,
because you live in the city, right?
No, we live in Westchester, but it's pretty close. The goal is to get a little bit more going with like growing some food and stuff like that. But we've started making our own wine and beer. But we've started with chickens.
They have names.
Aww.
We did name them. Tell them the theme.
They're all famous lesbians.
Yeah. Oh my God! Stop it.
So who are they? Who are they?
Well, there's Portia, Ellen, of course. There's Rosie. There's Tegan.
There's no Rosie.
And Sarah.
No. Tegan and Sarah. Wait, so actually, Tegan and Sarah had to be renamed because I had a moment where I realized that they were all white women. And I was like, we've got to switch this up.
You got to switch that up. I appreciate you.
Drop Tegan and Sarah.
I feel bad for Tegan and Sarah, but you know, I appreciate you for that.
So we renamed them to Janelle Monae and Tessa Mae Thompson.
All right, so you're homosteading and you're Buddhists and you're non-stereotypical lesbians.
Yes.
And what's tell us about your family.
Well, my parents live close by. They both live in Beacon. My dad lives with his mom. So lots of like close family on my side. And I love them, but you know, they're also.
By the way, that's great. Everybody says that.
Well, you know, that's followed by like a but. Sometimes it's a bit much.
Yeah. And they're so close by, right? Yeah.
That's basically the definition of family.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I love them more.
Oh. Actually, Madhu is their favorite person in the family. She's my grandmother's favorite person. My mom loves her more than she loves me, for sure.
That's good. That's the way it should. Basically, that's the way it should go.
Everyone loves Mary more than me. It's fine. You adjust to it eventually. It just becomes like, yeah, I get it. All of my friends would leave with her in the divorce. It's fine.
Yeah, that happens to that. Me too. Everybody goes to Anne for everything, not me. Hey, Robin,
mm-hmm.
I have some stats for you.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you know that 70% of people say they want to use natural products, but only 2% do?
Is that true?
Yeah, 2%. That's why Grove Collaborative makes finding healthy, affordable, effective formulas easy and convenient.
Well, I shouldn't have balked at that percent because I have to admit that in the beginning, I always wanted to use natural products, but like I could not get my act together. Mm-hmm. It was just like too much to figure out like what to use and where do I go. But I did find grove.co.
Love them.
And what's so amazing is they basically take the guesswork out of going green. So like every Grove product is guaranteed to be good for you, my family, my home, and you know, this little thing we call the earth.
Yeah, that's important a little bit. Grove Collaborative is online and it has so many products I love. I especially love they have all natural feminine products.
Oh yeah.
Really great for our lady parts. And I love the lavender and thyme all purpose cleaning concentrate. I use that stuff everywhere. Seriously, my kids smell like lavender.
I love the smell of lavender. I love it.
So good.
And you know, I just have to say with Grove, you know me, like I don't have to go to multiple stores. Everything is in one place and they have all the things for my kids, my cat, even some fun personal stuff. Like you know, I love a good Grove Collaborative bath bomb.
You?
I love baths.
You don't do bath bombs.
I fucking love baths. Wow. And I have to say that I even set up recurring shipments so that I never have to worry about running out of things and having to take a trip to the store. So I love it.
So glad you like bath bombs, Robin.
I do.
But listen, you heard it here, folks. Join over 500,000 families who trust Grove Collaborative to make their homes happier and healthier, including Robin and myself.
That's right. And for a limited time, when our listeners go to grove.co/OCT, you will get a free 5-piece fall gift set from Mrs. Myers from Grove, free shipping, and a free 60-day VIP trial.
Ooh, that yes.
So much stuff.
Oh, more. And for a limited time only, you can choose from best-selling fall scents like apple cider, acorn spice, mum, and pumpkin spice, which are exclusively sold at Grove.
Oh, I love the pumpkin spice.
Me too.
So fall. Mm. Go to grove.co/OCT to get this exclusive offer.
That's grove.co/OCT.
Do it. Yeah. So you have a son. Let's get into that a little bit.
Yeah. So, the process sort of started in 2017. Mm-hmm. January is when we started exploring the possibilities. Okay, what do we do? So we started researching and we kind of went down the path of, you know, taking my eggs and then picking an anonymous donor. We just looked at the medical history.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. From a sperm bank.
From a sperm bank. Mm-hmm. And we looked at some of the genetics, like ancestry. We just wanted to know some genes.
So did you look at physical characteristics at all? Or a little bit?
Yeah. So like... Yeah.
Because you were using Madhu's egg, mm-hmm. so you wanted it to resemble you in some way.
In no sense, it was somewhat easy because it was like white, blue eyes, reddish or brownish hair. And that was kind of
I feel like that's sadly the majority of
what's available.
Yeah. We've talked to a lot of people of color and it was hard for
them. They're saying there's not a lot of choices.
The pool
there.
Is smaller. Yeah. So.
Yeah, actually, because we also researched the other way around. Like, so I'm from India originally and we looked at options for like Indian sperm as well. But there weren't.
No. Was there any?
There's West Indies and then Asian,
but not like Indian.
Not like East Indian, yeah.
So is that what forced you guys to make the decision to use your eggs? Was that catapulted it?
No, it wasn't a forced decision. I think we were just, you know, dabbling with all these options and we just organically landed, okay, we're going to take my eggs and, you know, go that route.
So I want to backtrack a little bit because Madhu, you're from India and yeah. we've talked about Jess's family. How about your family?
So right now, all my family is in India. I don't yeah. have any like immediate family in the States. Uh-huh. Came here.
Is that
and
hard?
It is. But I think, you know, one thing that really helped me like sort of get my roots in is the whole our Buddhist practice, honestly. Mm-hmm. So that really, I feel like was the centered, yeah, kept me centered and also like in a positive and kept moving, helped me move in a positive direction. Mm-hmm. So yeah, my family's back in India, my dad and my brother. I do go back like once a year.
What, can I ask what brought you here?
Work. Yeah. Work, it was, work. Yeah. I first 10 years of my career, I traveled a lot all over the world, actually.
What do you do?
I am in technology sales.
Okay.
Mm. I basically work with media and entertainment companies, like help them build custom solutions, you know, that's okay. what my company does. Then, yeah, I just happened to settle in the US. Like, it came in here in 2010 and just decided, okay, this is it. I'm done, like, traveling so much. I need, like, a home.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just dropped my hat and said, this is it.
Can I ask, in your decision to be here, was there anything with, like, I don't know how LGBTQ friendly mm-hmm. India is. Did that play into you being
absolutely.
Here?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I think that was one of the main reasons why I was traveling so much. I didn't know at the time, you know, at the time it was more like, oh, new experiences, new customers, new work. But I think a key thing was that I was always out of place in my right. own house.
So you were kind of searching for yourself.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's awesome. So you met here. You found your kismet thing in Buddhism together.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. then you started homesteading. And then you decided to go the reciprocal IVF route.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so take us down that road.
Well, the first thing we researched was, well, does insurance cover anything?
Right.
No.
Nothing at all?
Nothing.
You know, because they're all different, so you just don't right. know, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, basically, I mean, I was like researching and couldn't find very straight answers. So we called someone and she's like, well, it looks like here, if you were to be exposed to sperm for 12 months right. at your age, then you would be eligible for IVF or IUI or something like that. And I was like, I'm not going to be exposed to
people
sperm.
Who have sperm.
I'm like, should I make
exposed to sperm? Right. Like, how, yeah. what should
Such
I do?
A gross way to put it. Like, exposed.
But that's yeah, just, that is the stipulation in most yeah. insurances yeah. is that you have to prove that you have been
you
exposed
for
to
a year.
Sperm for a year.
Yeah, right. right. Which is like, how do you even prove that?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
could I have just gone and been like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I've been sleeping around.
By the way, you could have. You could have just said, because there's no way they can prove that. In the same way that there's no way they can prove that to a married couple's having sex.
I feel like they would say, well, we need to test your partner. And then they'd see, oh, your partner's a female.
No, I don't think they do that. We need someone who knows something.
Yeah.
Somebody
can you do that?
Yeah. Tried to expose them.
Has anybody tried to do that?
Because
I didn't even try. I was like, okay, well, let's see. What can we do now? You know?
Same. Yeah.
yeah. So what happened?
So then we were like, okay, well, I guess we got to figure out the cost of this. And so we started going to a bunch of different fertility clinics, even like figuring out what we wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And was what we wanted to do a real possibility? Was that a thing?
Like the reciprocal IVF.
You know, reciprocal IVF.
So at the time you didn't know people were doing that. You were just like, this is what we think?
Kind of. I mean, the thing is, you know, when you look on like fertility clinics websites and stuff, it took me probably until we actually did it to get IVF and IUI straight.
Right.
Because it was like,
it's a lot.
The way they define it can be so confusing.
And they use such scientific terms.
Exactly.
Intrauteral, you know.
Yeah, what does that mean?
You know, you had to figure it all out.
The good news is we never use scientific terms because we don't.
No, or maybe it's bad because then people are like, I want to do the one where you put the sperm in the hopper.
Yeah, and like, we had one listener who was like, basically like, stop saying turkey baster. And I was like, no, I'm not going to.
Never.
Because it's like, the people get a sense of it when you say that. When you say medicated IUI, everyone's like,
intrauterine insemination,
right.
reciprocal IVF. I did use a scientific term.
Put it close to that and then stick it in. That's how I described IUI. Put it close to the thing and stick it in.
Stick it in.
yeah. Whereas like turkey baster is just stick it in.
Right.
That's the difference.
Nope. So yeah. So we started looking at different fertility clinics. We came to one in the city and then we realized that like, wow, it's going to take many, many, many appointments. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not sure I really want to travel into the city once a week if I'm not working in the city. Yeah. At that point, a lot of things were up in the air. I didn't have the job that I have now.
Like, right.
Many things. And so, yeah. So then we landed on one probably about half an hour north of where we live. And the woman, shout out to Courtney, she, her sister is gay. And so that's kind of the final thing that made us feel comfortable.
The woman at the fertility clinic.
Yeah.
Our, the doctor. You need to know that they're on the side of the gays, or that they're thinking of things in terms of us and not plugging us into this hetero world. Because it's not the same.
It's not.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she had a bit of an understanding of that. I don't think her sister at the time had any kids or wanted any. But I guess,
she at least knew enough to be sensitive.
Were you her first LGBTQ couple?
I think so.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, we asked about how many people do you see? And her answer was that her sister was gay. So that was...
She was like, I know a gay person in upstate New York. Jenny, do you know her?
Exactly.
No. I've seen the L word.
Yeah.
One episode. So, but you're going into this knowing that you're going to pay out of pocket for everything.
Yeah.
Right. And that's so everywhere we went, we were like, do you have a cost breakdown?
Right.
And people were very reluctant.
Really?
Yeah. Because it's like getting an estimate on your house. Right. Like people are like, well, it could cost way more than that.
Yeah. Right. Because you don't know if it's going to work.
I got one that was like, it could cost this or it could cost this, depending on your choice. And one was like $5,000 and one was $26,000. I was like, we have a very big discrepancy here. And he was like, well, it depends if your insurance covers this.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys went kind of the most expensive route we can get.
Yeah.
Yes. Pretty much. Yeah. Which was like, so... us.
Yeah.
We were like, of course, the thing I want is the most expensive.
But I get it though. Like it's like if there were any Indian donors, like you could have done it, but it's like, there's not, you know?
Right.
Also, it's the ultimate dream to have a mixture, you know, to feel like you're really both a part of the baby. And I know that once the baby comes out, it's all a wash. It doesn't matter where this baby came from. But when you are creating this child, every little tiny thing matters.
And I had always wanted to get pregnant and have a baby myself. And so the fact that my dude wanted to, and she really did
not. She's like, I did not. So you were happy to give up the eggs, hand it over, and let her do
it. Yeah. I was actually a little bit worried because I'm like 39 at the time this happened. And I wasn't sure actually because the count was so less.
Oh, really?
But I don't know what happened. We just first time.
You got so
excited. Actually, this is a really exciting. Will you tell it?
Yeah,
it's really exciting.
So you got your eggs tested. There was a low count.
It was low count.
Okay.
And they told me there's 40% chance success rate. Mm-hmm. And they never told me at the time that they will have to do multiple harvesting. So I went in that day when they called me for the procedure and I was like, okay, this is it. You know, I've done my best. We were like, we used to talk to like both my uteruses.
We talked to both your ovaries.
It's like
it's a champion. I did my best. I practiced.
Yeah.
Showed up.
Exactly. And we were, did all the prep.
You did all the injections.
All of that. And I went that day and they got like six out of me.
Okay. Wow.
But it sounds a lot when you're a novice, but it's not.
It's not. Yeah. It's not.
Some people almost nothing.
30. We learned later it wasn't.
Because it dwindles down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. The doctor came out from the procedure and brought me into the room and was like, okay, so when is the next one? Like he was ready to write on his calendar.
Right, because it was on
I was like, we're not doing another one.
No.
Sorry.
Was because you felt like you were going to make it or because of money?
But both, I think.
Honestly, mine was the first one. Like I knew this that is happening. This is happening.
You just knew it was happening.
Yeah.
You were like, your inner Buddha was like, it's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. And then also it was like, I don't really want to spend that much money again if we can make this happen.
Yeah.
Of course. So you had a lot of hope and faith in this.
Yeah.
So you get the six.
Get the six. And six becomes four. Four becomes two.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then they said, okay, these two... they look viable.
Yeah, they're good.
They're good. So we decided to do the whole genetic testing.
You guys, syndrome. You went for it.
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah. We did,
because, especially because of the age of the eggs.
And you had one shot.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they were both good?
No.
Oh, no.
So two became one.
Oh, my God.
When the doctor like called us in the office and he showed us like both the embryos and with the chromosome reading and everything, we were like, I don't know. I think it was such a strange moment because here you are, like one of them made it, but then one did not make it. And it's strange, but you know, you do develop these attachments to this, like
that little egg was your little friend.
Yeah,
and your
like
little
you know,
baby.
Mm-hmm. However much you feel like no, this is there's no life yet or whatever, like you can't help but just
yeah. I mean, I had a miscarriage at 7 weeks and I was already attached. I was already like, you know, it's like you heard the heartbeat and it was like, ugh, yeah, get attached.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't know. I think I turned my feelings off. I wasn't attached. But I had to go through this for a long time.
So we actually were so attached that the one we had left. Well, so one thing is that in the office, he's like, do you want another sex? And my dude was like, yeah. And I was like, wait.
Yeah.
And then he told us. And I was like, okay.
You're like, remember when I had a choice?
So then he told us it was a male embryo, whatever that means. And from that point, when we froze that one embryo, we actually named him.
Yeah, and then like you said, we froze that. We did not do
the
transfer
right
immediately.
No.
And the reason was, you know.
This is what we do. Like, and the reason, but why?
Our reviews are like, we love the podcast, but the hosts interrupt. Shut up, hosts. So let's shut up. Go ahead. Tell us your story. No.
You know, at the time, Jess was not, like she didn't have a job. Our financial, like I was the only person earning and we really wanted to change that situation before we bring, you know, a child into this world. And we thought, okay, here's the plan. We will freeze this embryo.
Him.
And we'll freeze him.
Freeze our little boy.
Freeze our little boy. While we find a job.
Yeah. And you knew that was the plan from the start. So you hadn't gone through the meds in order to stop your whole menstruation and blah, 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 blah.
Although the practice, I think, is two doctors or one main doctor and Courtney, the person that we had worked with the whole time. And for the life of me, I can't remember her last name, which is, I hate it when people do that to female medical professionals.
Oh.
Because it's like, you know, just my friend versus Dr. So-and-so.
Right.
Oh, anyway, so.
Listen, you have a kid. But I'm it's the, like, you, I like, put, whatever. I put you things in the freezer anything. The other day that didn't belong in the freezer. It's like, we're all just trying to get by.
Exactly.
Everyone knows you're a good person. I think they get a sense of it.
There
you brought
go.
Us mead.
Yeah. So the guy, so at this stage, we're talking more with this male doctor than
who actually
than
owns
Courtney.
The practice.
Who owns the practice.
Dr.
And Levine. Thank you. Okay, thanks.
So she had it the whole time.
She was
my
memory.
Letting you flounder.
No, she had the man's doctor's name, but not the woman doctor.
That's
name.
Common.
Oh, okay. Right. Oh, gotcha.
So we go in for like, I don't know, a discussion. Oh, this is the discussion after they get the testing back. And he's like, so when do you want to do this? When's your next period? And I was like, oh, I'm on my period now. He goes, oh, great. So, right, and I'm like, no, I am not ready. He's like, you could come in next week. And I'm like, no, I don't want
to. He probably flipped out. Because when you freeze it, that's also going to drop your chances. So he was probably like, ugh.
He was probably very anxious to get this one going. Yeah. But it came off a little bit more like, get it in. Get, do it.
Just, because they, once they get you in the machine, they're like moving the machine forward.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's what it feels like to me. Yeah. Like, well, this is step A. Now we're into
they're
step B.
They're
scientists,
thinking of it
like
from feeling.
Said,
they're like just, you know, that this might not be the right moment. And also, you are not, this is another point to what we were talking about earlier. You are not infertile.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You are a lesbian couple and you're doing it on a time frame versus he is thinking this is a person who's getting older.
And
need to get that pregnant
problems.
And has been trying for 2 years. Like they're just not wired to think about us. Mm.
Right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Totally. That like, you know, for all intents and purposes,
we're
pretty sure.
We'll check back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you got a job and they put it in and it worked. You had a boy.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Was everybody shocked when it worked?
They were,
You guys were not shocked
at all.
We were
not. We were like, this is going to happen.
Here comes little
baby Neo.
Mm-hmm.
Little baby Neo.
We did have a scare. On,
oh my God. We had several scares, actually. Because
first trimester and second.
Yeah. So first was, honestly, I had just been declared pregnant. I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, in Australia, they say you fell pregnant.
I declare you pregnant.
I certainly didn't fall into pregnancy, though. So.
No, none of us do.
Funny, right?
Yeah. But yeah, once I had become pregnant, I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks later, there was a little bit of bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
I had an absolute heart attack, rushed up there. Mm-hmm. Well, it was like on the weekend. And so I called the practice. They're like, just come in tomorrow. It should be fine, but come in. So I went in and that's when we first saw, like, it was literally just a little tiny circle on the screen.
Yeah.
You couldn't even tell that it was a fetus. It was so tiny. And it was like,
just a bunch of cells.
Magical. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's my kidney bean.
Yeah. And then it happened again, like a week later. And I was home, I was working from home, and my friend / coworker was there with me. And I was like, we have to go right now. And so I called, and we were on our way to the emergency room. And they're like, don't go there. They're just going to tell you you're having a miscarriage. Come here. And so went there, and they looked, and everything was okay. And then basically like forgot about that.
Yeah.
And right around Memorial Day, I was coming back from a work trip, and I had like a very big bleeding.
It was situation.
It was very terrifying.
How far along were you here?
That was the second trimester.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
I feel like it was the very beginning of the third trimester. It was just about to begin. So it was really, really, really scary. So we ran to the emergency room, thankfully only 10 minutes away.
She had just landed and she was at home like for maybe 30, 35 minutes when this happened.
So we were packing for a trip to Florida.
Yeah, what if you were on the plane?
What if I were in the air either coming home or already on the way to Florida, which would have been terrible because...
Then you're going to some random ER.
Exactly.
That might not be good with the gays anyway. Who knows?
Right, who knows? Yeah. Yes. So, yeah, it was very fortunate timing. We went, and at this point, you know, we weren't in touch with the fertility clinic and had...
Yeah.
We were sort of shopping around for doctors or midwives, and the one we had landed on, we weren't that into anyway. But then during this, she kind of proved that we were like, no.
Yeah, we changed practices 3 times.
So, wow.
For delivery? Like, yeah, it felt like so many times.
Just couldn't find the right person.
Yeah. Well, one of them was good, but the place where we were supposed to deliver was like extremely hospitally, and I was like, oh my God, I can feel the labor stopping right now.
Right. Yeah.
But anyway, back to the ER situation. We went in, and of course, I'm like freaking out the whole time. The ER nurses were so sweet. Mm. They were so nice and like just tried to calm me. They were like, we don't know that a miscarriage is what's happening. And I was like, what do you mean? I didn't even know that you could bleed in pregnancy and not be miscarrying.
This is the first time hearing.
No, you can. Sure.
So listeners, no clue. It's okay. Yeah. Possibly.
But
it's,
I don't know why that happens, but I know it happens.
Yeah, nobody knows. I mean, not really nobody, but basically there's like not enough research on our uteruses.
Of course not. Why would there be?
I was so mad after this. I was like, you have to be kidding me. We've been doing this forever and yet there have been no studies on why this happens.
Yeah,
you have got like, that is insane to me. I mean, it makes perfect sense too, but I was so
mad. It's a world where we're like, well, yeah, it totally makes sense.
Yeah. Right.
So sad.
They were like, you know, some women just never find out why. And I'm like, what?
That's really helpful.
But we were really determined to figure it out. I need to know. Well, so the scan, they like 7 years later bring me up to a scan. And
literally 7 years later. Like,
no.
Yeah. Gotcha. I was like, wait, it's
hospital time?
Hospital time.
Yeah. Emergency hospital time, it felt like forever. Yeah. It was probably a very short amount of time. And so the scan showed he was totally cool, chilling out. He was not in any distress. He didn't even have a raised heart rate, nothing. Mm-hmm. So they're like, I think everything's fine. And they're like, I see the blood here, but it's not affecting him at all. Everything is fine. So then I just sat in the emergency room and waited until the bleeding slowed down enough to leave. And we just so happened to be seeing the perinatologist. Is that what it's called?
For your perineum?
What?
Isn't that a part of your vagina?
No. So it's like they usually only treat high-risk patients.
That's
the taint.
And there's no doctor of the taint, just FYI.
There's the perineum that they tell you to massage before childbirth.
Yes, but that's the taint.
Oh, you're right.
And there's no doctor that you don't do a residency on the taint. I just want to throw that out there. This just doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's perinatologist. It's supposed to be for high-risk pregnancies. So the original OBGYN that we went to, they were like, no, we just send all of our patients there.
Yeah, because they're all over 35.
I didn't know at the time that was weird. That like nobody saw.
It worked out.
But it did work out because he basically was like, oh, so your placenta is a little bit low. It's not totally covering the cervix, so you're okay. And usually these things self-correct. Mm. they don't move, but it sort of moves as your uterus grows with the baby. So it usually clears, but that is the reason for the bleeding.
We got a reason.
We got a reason.
There you go.
But it's sad that you had to go to a specialist and that even at the ER, they weren't like, well, you can go to one of these specialists to find out.
I've never even heard that name of a doctor before.
Yeah, no. Obviously, I thought it was for the taint. Anyway.
That's a highlight reel moment right there. Clip that out.
I don't know. You're going to lose all the men.
I feel pretty good about that.
Anyway.
But I was going to say, I feel like you're highlighting it's a miracle when a baby's born.
Yeah.
Totally.
Every time, I think.
Like how many eggs have to die or, you know, fall asleep in the middle of the night and go to a farm upstate. Like that, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to kill the eggs.
I don't even know.
But in order, and then it's like you six and then four. It's just a miracle.
So dramatic. And you guys had a pretty easy journey. Easy journey comparatively.
Mm, right.
But it's so funny that we're calling this easy.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
well, when you compare it to, you know,
my 3-year journey.
Mm-hmm.
Episode one, season one. If you're a new listener.
But anyway, so you've had a journey to get there. And then Neo is born.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's fine.
Everything's fine. He's great. He's healthy.
And how old is he?
Huge.
Now?
10 months.
He's huge. I love it.
Big boy.
In terms of like the being of a mixed race couple, is that something that plays into like how you're parenting or what your concerns are or worries for setup down the road? Or is it that he's too young and you're not there yet?
Yes to all. Before he was born, you know, it was like just really heavy planning. Like, okay, you know, he's not just going to be from same-sex couple. He's going to be mixed race. And that like Indian and white, you don't really see that very much.
It's true.
In the suburbs you know, all of these things. But now that he's here, it's more just getting through the day.
Yes.
Yeah.
They have all these plans before the, I bought like old school classic Sesame Street DVDs because I was like, I'm going to show my kid the real stuff, you know? And I mean, there's this show on YouTube.
Watch it.
Please get away from the things you think about. It's, you know, but yeah, you plan like crazy and then it's about getting through the day.
Yeah.
I think it's all going to be on him, like however he wants to manage.
What about...
Just leave it all.
Yeah. Good luck with that. There's counselors at school should you hit a roadblock. There's all kinds of information on the internet. You can look it up, Neo.
No, I mean, we're joking, but we know you guys are being very intentional about this.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah. I mean, you have to be. Yeah. You spent all this money making him.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. We were joking, like, when the kids get to the certain age of asking, like, where do babies come from?
Right.
The talk is going to be, well, when two mommies love each other very much, they go to the doctor and spend a fortune.
Your kid's going to be so fucked up in health class. He's going to be like, whoa.
Your kid's going to be like, I need more money. I need money.
He's going to start like a savings plan right away.
Yeah.
I need to build a business because babies are very expensive.
I mean, they are, but... What about like language? Are you going to be a bilingual family?
Yes, yes. I mean, that's the intention.
Yeah.
Do you already speak?
A little bit, yeah. But I think we will definitely step it up. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm from the Bengali community in India.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my mother tongue. So that's what we want to like him to pick up.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we were thinking maybe Jess should also start learning.
I was going to say, is there a Duolingo for your
You know what? There's not.
I had a feeling it might not be available.
There's no Rosetta Stone. There's no Duolingo. It's very difficult. Mm-hmm. We were looking for tutors. Mm-hmm. Like, there's one.
Yeah, because it's not Spanish.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to talk a little bit about, you had mentioned things that no one tells you about parenting.
Mm. Well, so
there's a lot of them.
There's so many. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of my bigger angers as a pregnant woman, you know, I knew it wasn't going to be like glitter and sunshine and flowers the whole time, obviously. But there's so many random things that nobody tells you about.
Totally.
Like my nose ran for months.
Yeah.
In fact, it didn't stop running until I got a spray for it. Like a medicated spray. You know, the drugstore kind was like, this is useless.
Not working, yeah.
So we actually got to a point where I was so incredibly frustrated with my nose. The doctor said I could take Benadryl or Claritin, just not Claritin D. And so I was on that, literally on the clock, taking it every single day. But then I found that my blood sugar randomly spiked when I took it.
Mm.
So So I would be like just finishing lunch and then suddenly I would feel extremely faint. I'm mm-hmm. like, I just ate. My blood sugar should not be crazy low. Mm. So I was really scared that I had gestational diabetes and all of these things. Oh, this is another great thing about that first doctor. I went in and I was like, listen, this is a big concern of mine. And they're like, yeah, that sounds like diabetes. And I'm like, yes, it does.
Yeah. So right. What do you do?
That's what I'm saying. Test me.
Right. Can you test me? And she just didn't.
Really?
She didn't. Nothing.
You didn't do the test?
Not at that point.
Not at that point.
That's they why didn't you even switch. This doctor stinks.
Totally. I was like, are you kidding? Like, I'm telling you how scared I am every day. And she's like, well, you know, what about with your diet? I'm like, I'm mainlining protein. But there are times when if I don't have juice right in that moment, I'm sure I'm going to faint. Wow. And she was like, yeah, I mean, do you have a history of diabetes? Do you already have? And I was like, no.
You're like, you're the worst doctor ever.
I am
they
bringing
just
you.
They assume that you have an unhealthy lifestyle.
Right.
This is what I'm noticing lately.
And also, you know, I mean, your listeners can't see me right now, but I'm bigger. And so I feel like that was like another aspect that snuck in here and there. That perinatologist asked me probably 300 different times. So you don't have gestational diabetes, right? And I'm like, it is in the chart.
Yeah, you're like, do you want to ask me again?
Why do you keep asking me?
I have told you so many times. Mm. I do not. Yeah. So anyway, that passed. And then eventually.
Thank you.
I hate all of them.
I'm so mad at that doctor.
Yeah. Then eventually we were like, okay, we have a dust problem. That must be it. It's crazy. I've got a dust allergy and it's developed during pregnancy. Like we had all of these ideas.
You're coming up with whatever.
And I went to a doctor.
Then we thought maybe it's Einstein, our pig.
Yeah.
Like
pig?
You have a pig.
Yes.
This is part of Einstein. Einstein, our pet pig. So it's kind of part of homesteading, but not because we're not planning on eating him. I just want everyone to know he's not on the dinner plan.
He's just a pet.
He's just
baby.
Our little baby.
Is he big? Or is he our
firstborn.
He's actually not our pet. He's our master.
Pigs are smart.
So, he has his own Instagram if you guys want to follow
him. What's his name?
I might already follow.
What's his Instagram account?
At the Stein.
Yeah,
27.
Share it because I will be watching Einstein.
Oh my God.
I love little pigs.
I had never heard the runny nose thing as a thing.
My best friend had that.
Yeah, but I also never heard, like, I had massive acid reflux. Like, with Henry in particular, several times I woke up throwing up in my own mouth.
Oh my God.
And then I would look over, you know, just like that, it like comes up and then you swallow. Mm-hmm. And I would look over and Mary would just be like sleeping peacefully. and I'd be like, God damn it.
Because
I was just like, oh God. I also had anxiety attacks during both of my pregnancies while I was asleep, panic attacks. Mm-hmm. I woke up, the first one was with Maxine. I woke up, I couldn't breathe. And I was like, I'm definitely going to die. And I made Mary turn on every light in the apartment. And then we went out into the living room. And like it was like 4:30 in the morning. And after like 45 minutes, she was like, do you think we could like go back to bed now? Because I was so scared. And I was like, fine. I was like, but we're leaving all the lights on. And I guess I slept with like a foot on the floor. And it was like I think it was an estrogen thing.
Mm-hmm. That can affect people.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, estrogen and progesterone can both cure and cause depression and anxiety.
But I'm like, I'm hard pressed to believe that it was like a panic attack. It wasn't like I was in a crowded space. I was asleep. And when I woke up, that's how hormones. It always happened for me.
Pregnancy hormones.
So much they don't talk about.
There's so much that they don't tell you.
Right.
It's like very intense. Yeah.
So we went to the doctor. All the information on the world for that drug for men and their penises.
I know. God. And there's ads for it everywhere.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yep. So you guys, you're on your journey, you were like talking about it's all over the place and you were working on an app around for us gays, LGBTQs.
Yeah.
Talk to us about that.
So we started this year and, you know, through our experience, we just realized that it's so complex to navigate this whole ecosystem. And like you were saying that the language and the, you know, when people, the conversations are not LGBTQ it's not relevant half of this stuff. So the origins of the app is to basically simplify this process for the queer community.
Great.
The idea is that you know, the user can just log in and they can see, oh, here are my options, and that's based out of, you know, what they are planning or they want to choose how their family is going to.
I was going to say, is it like a choose your own adventure? Like, if I want to do this, then it takes you here,
so
kind of thing.
I can actually show you. Like,
you have a prototype already.
Yeah, a prototype.
Will it have like resources in your area for like LGBTQ friendly? Blah blah blah.
So there'll be like a short quiz, mm-hmm. like which asks you, okay, what do you want to do? Like, you know, where is this egg coming from? Where is the sperm here? You know, where is the sperm? Who's going to carry it? And based on that, the app will recommend options.
Amazing.
And then once they pick the option, they can see, okay, how much it might cost.
Right.
What are the success rates based on reports, let's say, you know, the CDC spits out every year. You know, they have these reports. The success rate of the fertility clinics and, you know, the state, depending on where which county you are. So you could do like show them. Yeah,
laws.
Mm-hmm. And then it will also give you options for counseling, legal services, community. You know, if you want to connect with other families, you could do that.
If These Ovaries Could Talk podcast.
If I show you the prototype, we already have a spot for you in the prototype.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm almost done with the prototyping, and we're gonna
we're
doing some like pre-launch sort of marketing.
That's incredible. Yeah.
That's great. Mm-hmm. And then you shop it around, and
It'll be it'll be on iOS and Android first, like native apps. Yeah. I'm not planning to build a web app right now, but just native apps to download and just get going.
Amazing.
Yeah,
that's an incredible resource.
Yay!
Yeah.
Yay, exactly.
We actually even have an Instagram already and a website.
Oh, because we just hear over and over and over again from people about how they didn't know or they don't know and they're just following people versus really knowing what all of their choices are.
Right.
And I like that you could use it and then you could go back and be like, okay, well, what if I do this path?
Yeah.
But then I don't want to do that. What if we do this path? And then you can compare.
You could do that.
Yeah, you can compare the potential cost. And also it will have layman's terms definitions.
That's right.
So that's people can read it and be like, oh, I know what this is. Right.
That's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. Will it have insurance info, like different kinds of insurances and what? But that
It'll have information.
Yeah. It changes like every year and with every company and even within each company, they have different ones.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think what we can do is give them things to consider. Like, if your insurance covers only this much, perhaps you could look at XYZ option. Yeah,
right.
You know.
Or also, like if you have a plan, you can switch at the new year. If you already used your one IVF, you could switch to another plan.
Also, a script would be helpful to ask your insurance because I would always call and I'm like, I don't know what to ask you. Right. I don't know. I don't know reciprocal list. IVF. I know. I'm gay and I want to put my egg inside my wife.
Hopper.
Yeah. And then the clerk on the phone doesn't know what the hell you're talking about most of the time. And
right.
Like, I don't know. Let me try to search that. So a script to give people to call their insurances would be great too.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah. I love this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is exciting. There's one more topic we did want to talk about. I really want to talk about because you guys experienced something with your little one that I experienced that not a lot of people talk about, not a lot of mothers know about until you're in it.
Mm-hmm.
Your Neo was tongue-tied.
Yeah. So, well, actually, in the very beginning, but at the hospital when he was born, the lactation consultant came by and was like, how are you doing with the latch? Da, da, da. And I'm like, well, it kind of hurts, but you know, and she's like, well, you're a redhead. You'll get used to it. You guys have sensitive nipples. Not the last time I would hear that, by the way.
What?
Definitely the very first.
What?
Mm-hmm. I was like, first of all, I have like auburn hair nipples? At best.
I'm like, you're barely a redhead.
Right. What? I was like, at best, auburn. But
hang in there, lady. Right. Like, that's thanks.
Yeah. And so she's like, well, first of all, you'll get used to that, which I knew was wrong. I knew that was the absolute worst possible thing you could say.
Needles ripping through my nipples every time he tries to get on my boob. Yeah, I get it.
But then, and then she looks at him and she's like, oh, yeah, separately. Like she did not connect the two for me. She goes, oh, he might have a lip tie or a tongue tie, but check with your pediatrician.
Right.
And so I was like, I don't know what that is. So we leave the hospital, fast forward, and we go to the pediatrician. They're like, no.
No tongue tie. No, yeah. Nothing.
Hmm. Okay. Turns out they don't really even believe that it's a thing.
It's a thing.
Oh, right. Yeah. You have to know from your pediatrician.
All doctors or your particular?
No, certain ones.
Many doctors are like, no, that's not a thing.
There is controversy surrounding
there is. But since they didn't say like, they didn't try and like convert us. They just said, no, he doesn't have one. You're fine.
Did they give you help with your, they gave me a nipple guard. Did you try that?
I did not try a nipple guard. I was like, look, can you look at my latch? Because it looks okay, right. I think, but it hurts. So and I'm not sure. I'm told it shouldn't hurt.
It shouldn't hurt anymore.
So right. It's been a couple weeks. What's going on? And they're like, no, yeah, that looks great. And yeah. I was like, okay.
It's just going to hurt. Okay. Some people are more sensitive, literally.
That's it.
It's like they think you're a wussy. You can't right. handle the pain. And it really hurts.
It's
you don't have
like,
to go through that, ladies. You don't have to go through that.
Right. Yeah. Down to my toes, yes. I would be like,
just like terrible. Anticipating the pain of yes. it. Yeah, I get it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, also he wasn't relaxed or, you know, like he was mm-hmm. throwing, like crying and yeah. miserable. He was miserable.
He wasn't getting
too.
Enough.
Yeah. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, so his whole like quote unquote witching hour, you know, mm-hmm. that everybody's like, oh, well, every baby has a cranky time in the evening. And I'm like, okay, yeah. But then it grew to be like 6 hours every single evening. And I was like,
hungry. He can't get enough. Yeah. He's not latching right.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're so crying. We tried everything. We looked up sleep everything. Books. Yeah. We were like the no cry sleep solution for
got
newborns.
That one. I have that one.
Very like lovely, useful things, except that he didn't really have trouble sleeping.
Yeah.
He was hungry. Starving. He yeah. didn't want to go to sleep. He was hungry. Okay. He wanted to eat. So I was part of a wonderful feeding circle.
Mm-hmm. As you do as a homesteader.
As you do as a homesteader. Up in cute little Beacon. Circle. Shout out to Wild Women. They were just... Yeah, amazing. They were like my community yeah, when right, we yeah. first had our like community great, when we first had Neo. Mm. And so I was talking with another mother who was talking about the baby was like probably 2 or 3 weeks younger or older. Mm. I'm not sure, like right around the same time. And she was like, yeah, it turns out my baby has a tongue tie, possibly lip ties. And I'm not really sure if I should get it fixed or not. Right. And like the person I saw really didn't give me any guidance on this. And so what do I do, guys? And I was like raising my yeah. hand like, what's a tongue tie?
Yeah, right.
And then I was telling them, I was like, yeah, Neo is fussy like all night, every night. He doesn't go to sleep for the night until like midnight or sometimes ugh. 1 a.m. And it's terrible. And then in the morning, everything seems great. And it's like a new day and everything is fine. But then again, the evening hits. They were like, have you looked into tongue tie? Because that could be a cause. Mm-hmm. Those are all symptoms. And I was like, they are what?
Yeah. So then when we started like studying more about tongue ties and the implications and the more we read, it was like, this is Neo. Like, yeah. this is what's happening.
Right.
The procedure, it's pretty like,
you
know.
Did you guys do the laser?
Yeah, we did the laser.
Old school, yeah, they would snip it with scissors. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And nowadays they do a laser cut, which is supposed to be less painful and quicker. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's awful like, and a knows? Scary thing to do to your child mm-hmm. who is so teeny tiny. Mm-hmm. When we were researching this, I was really, really reluctant to do this procedure. And then we read that children who have lip ties and tongue ties can also have all these extra yep. things happen mm-hmm. to them when they grow up. Like it affects their posture. Mm-hmm. Yep. They can have speech impediments, mm-hmm. all kinds of stuff. And that's what pushed us over the edge to actually do it. But I've read articles since then that totally debunk the whole theory about all of it. So I'm on I don't even know. Did your breastfeeding get better?
It did.
It did. Mine didn't.
See, some people's yeah. don't. Mm-hmm. And it remains a struggle. I think with more intense ties, that's more common.
Yeah, possible.
Because they regrow also very quickly.
Well, yeah,
ties.
You have to do all, yeah, these,
all these exercises.
Oh my God, which are terrible.
Which is the baby is screaming yeah. and you're rubbing the wound.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, it sounds awful.
It really is. It's, and we broke down crying so many yeah. different so times. Much. I was like, I'm so traumatizing much. My child. Like yeah. I can feel it. Mm-hmm. But then it passed and mm-hmm. you could tell that he was crying because he expected to be in pain, but right. then got over yeah. it so fast that he was like, yeah. okay, it doesn't really hurt
yeah.
anymore.
Yeah.
But I still don't like
their
it.
Mouths yeah. yeah. They just don't like that yeah. you're holding their heads.
Right.
You know.
Which is like, you know, if somebody came around to you and like stuck their finger in your mouth on a wound every day. Yeah. Like
Ow. Yeah. Ow. So it's a thing that you don't know until you're in it. And yes. then it's like a really big decision you have to make. And I'm sure even just listening, people are going to listen to this episode and have different opinions on yes. whether you should do it or not. Right. Mm-hmm. So we all chose to do it, but I'm sure there are other people who chose not to.
I'm sure there are. And, yeah. You know, thinking back also in terms of, and he's a boy, you know, people also have very strong opinions as to whether or not to circumcise boys.
There was that too.
And so we chose not to. And
big decision.
I feel like they're very close in some ways.
Well, you're snipping.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make
so it's
a
like,
snip.
It's cutting, it's surgery to
Let's
a certain extent.
Let's become elective.
All these decisions we have to make as moms.
Yeah.
Like while you're just sitting there, like a train wreck just happened in your vagina and you're just like, all right, I guess let's do this. Yeah. Let's do this
right.
now.
Right. That's thanks for talking about that. Yeah. Because it's something that I haven't been able to really have that conversation with somebody who went through the same thing, honestly.
Mm. Right.
Thank you guys so much for coming in. This was a fantastic conversation.
Yeah. Oh, thanks so much for having us. This has been so great.
I know. And you got to keep us posted about this app.
Yeah. Yes. It's called Queerbees.
Queerbees.
Yes.
Oh, that's
kind of like Gaby, but updated.
Yeah, right. Gaby's old. That's good because it includes us all.
Yes. That's the real aspect, is that it's not just for gay people. Yeah. It's for all
Is
of
there
us.
A hyphen in there or is it just Queerbees?
Just Queerbees. Kind of how you would expect it to be spelled, like babies, but queer.
I love it.
Well, thank you so much, guys.
Yeah.
Great.
Thank
great
you. Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, I love those two ladies.
I can't wait for this app.
And to drink the mead. What?
Sorry. The mead too. Yeah, that's exciting. But that is, what a great idea. That's going to skyrocket.
It really
is. I wish we had thought of that idea.
Go ahead and follow Queerbee on social media. How did we not think of that idea?
I don't know.
Well, by the way, we are busy doing this podcast.
I guess so.
Those
homo stetters.
I love them. I love them.
I do too.
And by the way, all of you listeners out there, we love having listeners on the show. Mm-hmm. So reach out to us at ovariestalk@gmail.com if you have a story that you think, you know, people want to hear.
Or if you know of someone.
Yeah.
Reach out. And also, get back to you.
If there's, we're a little slow. It takes time. But if there's stories that you want us to go after, we'd love ideas as well. So please reach out to us with those.
Because we go after them. We don't always get them, but we go after them.
We do. We get them eventually. I could stalk the shit out of people.
We're still working on
Karamo from Queer Eye. I'm talking to you, man. I've been coming at him since season two, but he's coming eventually.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He's coming.
Frederick Eklund. I think we could get him.
Well, we haven't gone after him yet, but we're going to get him.
Yeah, somebody might know him.
We're getting some people.
Reach out to Frederick.
All right. So we would be remiss if we didn't talk about what happened
in the Supreme Court
last week.
Well, yeah. So they heard a case. It's a landmark LGBTQ rights case that will decide if an employee could be fired based on their sexual orientation. This is huge for the gays.
Just the fact that they're hearing the case because they wouldn't hear it for a very long time.
Right. They put it off.
Yep.
It's huge for trans rights because, they're the ones getting...
I think we're all going to be on pins and needles for a while until we hear about this.
I mean,
I think
biting my nails.
We have a legal episode that's coming out later in the season, and he said that it'll be one of the last cases that they announce their decision on, so it could be as late as June.
He said they like to
the landmark ones. Yeah. The landmark ones.
So fingers crossed,
So I don't want to ask you to crush your fingers till June, but I don't know, emotionally cross
keep
your
hairs crossed. How about that?
Whoa.
Good. They're always
Which
crossed.
Which hairs?
Whoa.
Hey
there
now.
You go.
See, it's
taking it
dirty.
To the dirty place. Okay. Anyway.
All right.
Let's keep this conversation going, friends.
Join us on social. You can join our community and Patreon at patreon.com/ovariestalk. And you're going to get all kinds of extra content there. We've got another question that Madhu and Jess answer that's going up this week. We've got parenting advice.
Yeah. All the mess that is Jamie and Robin, behind the scenes content. We are really hot messes. All we do is basically just laugh and do dumb stuff. So you can find us on Twitter at Ovaries Talk, Instagram, Ovaries_talk. And If These Ovaries Could Talk on the Facebook, the Book of the Facce.
And don't forget, join our community in Facebook as well. We have a group there that's under our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. So join them. There's
Private
lots of conversation.
Community.
Yeah.
Everybody
love
gets
it.
In.
And they know, they're like, shut the fuck up. And thank you to our sponsor, Grove.co. Use their code. You go to grove.co/OCT.
That's it.
And that is where you can get their special offer. So thank you.
Tune in next week. We'll be back.
And what was it we say? Oh my God. I was just going to sing X ovaries out.
Well, that was beautiful.
So
that
bad.
Was beautiful.
It was so bad.
That was great. Let's sing it together. Eggs, ovaries.
I didn't want to do it
you
again.
It was stupid. All right, eggs.
Bye. Ovaries.
Out.
If these ovaries could talk, they would say, eggs, ovaries out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.